If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
For the fans, by the fans, this is the Non-League Football Show, and I'm Tim Fuel, back with another new season of Non-League Insight and Chat. And being the start of the new season, I'm pleased to say we have a full complement here in the studio. It's always a little bit weird sitting opposite my next guest when I'm talking on the mic. My first guest is so much more attuned to doing this very job, but I doubt I get much of a word in edgeway. So I welcome back now to the Non-League Football Show, the Queen of Non-League, Miss Caroline Barker.
Right up until the bit you said Queen, I thought you were going to introduce Dave then. Well, right up.
And there you go. You see, look, she's already done it.
There's some things I really don't want to come out, you know.
Introducing our second guest. As I say, full compliment. I have great pleasure in welcoming back to the Non-League Show FA Vars winning manager, Mr. Dave Anderson.
Yes, good evening.
I don't know what trumps which. I mean, I brought Trump into it earlier.
Yeah.
FA Vars winner or a queen, maybe.
Wow.
I mean, does my bling out-trump yours?
I don't know. I think there'd be red carpet for both of us,
if
I'm honest.
Yeah, there wasn't, though. There was.
I'm fairly disappointed as well.
Well, it would have been a bit threadbare. Yeah, it's pre-season still. We're still not quite up to speed with the grass and everything like that.
Would fit in with Hayes and Yedden colours, though, a red carpet.
It would fit in with
which is where we are.
We are with a green background, even though it's red.
And
the new shirts have arrived this week as well for the opening game of the season.
Where are they?
They're locked away, safe. They'll be unveiled on Saturday in Tiverton.
We've got a fast food restaurant sponsoring our sleeves this year at Chelmsford City, which is a new advance. As is your... Are they different glasses since last time I saw you, Dave Anderson?
These are the upstairs glasses.
Oh, right.
I leave a pair upstairs, a pair downstairs, a pair in the car.
Yeah.
Because I lose them everywhere I go.
And hence why you've got the upstairs ones for the car, Jim.
And I kid myself that I don't need them, whereas I obviously do.
You know why he needs them? Because he's been to watch a football match this week and he had to give the referee something, didn't he? So where the other pair of glasses have gone.
This was going to be one of my questions. I mean, what's Dave going to be doing on the Saturday? Clearly, he's going to do his referee's badges because he's always wanted to do this.
Yes, I have to tell you, I did a presentation for the Surrey FA. Not just me, there was lots of people more important than me there. But they did an awards for referees and years of doing of work working as referees. And it started off at sort of 10 years, 15 years. And it went up to 45 years, which is unbelievable.
Yeah.
And the guy next to me leaned over and he went, "I bet you've given stick to all of those."
And had you?
Yeah.
I don't know why I'm laughing because clearly that's not the thing to do.
No, it's not.
I had to go up, not near here. Well, it is near here actually, isn't it? We're at Hayes and Yedden, Stockley Park, where it's the home of VAR.
Is that where the home of VAR is?
Yeah, and I went and I played on the buttons. They've got a big red and a big green button that the VAR official presses when they see something. It was like, you know, when you used to play those computer games.
Yes.
Obviously, it's much more scientific and they're much more... But I do have... You need to go and do that because that will give you admiration for any official, what they go through. Incredible.
Well, yeah. The one thing I would say is, and getting back to the VARs really quickly...
Did you win it?
I did.
We are at Hayes and Yedden. It's quite close to Wembley.
Right. How close have you been to Wembley?
The big thing I noticed as we got to the later stages, you then get sort of conference or national, whatever you want to call them these days.
National League, which is the correct title.
That's the correct... Oh, sorry, I was board member here, but be careful. So, the difference in quality was amazing. I was the quietest, calmest man in the world, as opposed to my normal... ridiculous self.
You're saying it's the level of officials that make you act the way you act?
Yes, so never my fault.
Yeah.
Never my fault. But
it has been pointed out to me in recent weeks, Mr. Anderson, that you have retired as sin bins have come in across their mind.
They'd never fit me in one, would they? It might be a sin wheelie bin, wouldn't it?
Like Jose Mourinho got in that time when he was allegedly snuck in.
Anyway...
We're having a jovial start to the show, but I think we should really sort of touch upon yeah, the start of a new season, but there's plenty gone on during the close season, one of which was the sad passing of our friend Justin Edinburgh, which I know came as a big shock to all of us.
Yeah, for me personally, and when I say Wembley now, I'm not joking, because you were there. That was the last time I seen him. When I was doing the press, he was just about to get ready for the trophy game, and he came over and gave me a hug and said, "Just want to touch you, get a bit of luck," type thing. And I had a quiet joke with him about, I think I said to him along the lines of, I'm going to get drunk now, you can go and be nervous, you know, because he was about to. But warm guy, could never say a bad word about him, and all the times I came across him on the show, in opposing dugouts. When I was at Wimbledon, we played against each other a few times. If I won, he won. We always had a beer. He was always in the same mood. And he was just he had a real warmth about him, Justin, you know, that I wouldn't profess to know him nowhere near as well as many, many people. But on a personal front, he had a real warmth about him, and a real, he was good fun as well. I met him at Cheltenham when we were down there once at the races, and with a couple of pints of Guinness, a swimming pool full of Guinness. And he was just good company, and it was a real shock to all of us. The thing was, he just looked as fit as a fiddle that day at Wembley, and my heart goes out to his family and all the people that are a lot closer to him than I am. But I think the only thing I would finish with is that, you know, he'll never be forgotten in any standard of football, but certainly within the non-league, from people who have been around him, because we got to know him, guys, as you know.
It was a real big... Clearly, the effect that he had on people's lives, you just had to turn on any TV, go on any form of social media, anyone that you bumped into wanted to tell their own stories about meeting Justin. And I didn't know we were going to talk about him on this show, because this morning I got stuck on the M25 in absolutely awful traffic. And I thought back to the last time I was stuck in a car park on the M25, and someone started throwing something at my window. I thought, what's that? You know, when you turn around and you think, I didn't know what I'd see. And it was Justin, who was parked up next to me on the M25. He had his window down and he was throwing, it was only, I think it was like a banana skin or something he'd just thrown at my window. And you turn around and he just, that grin.
That grin
he had. Yeah. And we sat and had a chat through our windows on the M25 for about half an hour about all sorts. I kept ribbing him about turning down the Chelmsford job and how, you know, that would have been the right career path for him. And of course, he went on and had been so successful. But all the times that I tried to get him to come over to manage our club, because he was just up the road. And what a wonderful man, a wonderful family. And I mean that in his sons and what we've seen from the family as well. But I mean that in Leighton Orient and what he clearly achieved there, the huge hole, but how they are so determined. When you talk to Matt Porter, when you talk to Ross Hamilton, when you talk to anyone at the club, how they are so determined just to keep it going for him. But the structure, the obvious structure he built into that club, that they are able to.
Incredible. And social media, you know, I'm not a great lover of having anything videoed within my dressing room. And I'm sure most managers are the same. But the one time when the film just went after they'd won the league, if anybody didn't know what he was about, it within a dressing room and within a football club, that summed them up in a heartbeat. And you could see what he meant to his players in that one moment. So as much as I don't like it happening, I'm ever so glad that it did in that occasion, you know.
I'd run through a brick wall for him. So
he's top drummer.
You can see the God effect he had on the players.
Yeah, an effect he had on everybody. And I think that legacy is going to be there in non-league. Mm. That template at Leighton Orient, I'm sure there's plenty of clubs that are already looking at what they achieved there, and they're going to try and match it to get that bounce back up. So obviously, Dave's already mentioned, your position on the board at the National
Independent.
League. Independent. And obviously National League kicked off early last week, but along with some of the Step 5, Step 6 leagues.
It's
and
been kicking off on social media to me over the past few weeks. There's a few little teething problems that some people have asked questions about, wanting a meeting with the National League over filming and certain things that are going to happen. That is going to happen. I've been onto them, and that will happen. And all I've seen from the short time being involved on the board is they understand and value their position within the football pyramid. And by that, I mean, they understand, because it's blooming tricky, that level. Mm. And you'll know from both being involved in clubs in that level or even a couple of steps below, so much money goes into grassroots football. So much money goes into professional football. Where does that level of the game sit? And I know it's Mark Harris has spoken before about the Northern Prem and also in the Ishmael League, spoken about the collective. Mm. It's the national leagues too. You have clubs that will go up and go through League Two just like that because of the way they've been sorted out in the national league system. And then you've got clubs that are struggling, but also financially are having to build just a sustainable model. And it's striking that balance between putting an arm around volunteers, knowing the strength of volunteers in our game, and knowing that there's a place for everyone in all levels of the game. So it's going to be a fascinating season, and one that might still see, gosh, we don't know what's going to happen with Bury, do we? No. We don't know what's going to happen with Bolton. I wonder, and I've not heard it yet, at what stage there's that little knock on the door to say, any chance you can...
Yeah.
I hope not, for fans of both those clubs. Not that I don't mean it's a great level to come into, but that would mean that their clubs have suffered. But I wonder how long before non-league gets the knock on the door for those.
And like the top division now, well, at our level, it is a top division.
Yeah.
It's just, when you look through the sides that are in the National now, it's unbelievable. When you've been around for a long time, like we have, all of us now, the strength and depth of it's frightening, isn't it?
I was lucky enough the other week to be at Luton for the first game in the Championship for them. And I got a little tap on the shoulder and almighty bear hug from Gary Sweet, from when we knew him through non-league. And we sat with then Stuart Hammonds, the old editor of the non-league paper. Just seeing these clubs that have rebuilt in our level of the game and gone up and gone through and are the better for it just shows what the strength of non-league still and how important what we do in our level is.
And that middle bit, as you say, that needs to be
often
addressed.
Often forgotten.
Well, it's a conversation we had lots of times last season about clubs needing to be businesses at whatever level they're at now. You talk about the strength in the National League, but National League South and National League North, there's more and more of those that are full-time, whether they're full-time on the field, there's more and more people working full-time off the field. But the volunteers are even more important then, because you're then, it's like having a split-paid dressing room, which is always the case, and you have to keep everybody happy at the same time. But you need more and more bodies to run a football club nowadays.
Yeah. Mm. But I know Hayes and Yedding, how successful you were last season in the league, right? But I do think there is a little bit of tempering of it. Some Chelmsford fans were talking about, oh, we're going to go and smash Concord when we played them on Tuesday night. And we didn't. We lost. But it's easy to write a team talk when you're coming up against clubs that supposedly pay, and I'm sure Ant Smith at Concord would say that Chelmsford pay a lot more money than Concord do to their players. But how easy is it to write that team talk if you're a manager to say, oh, they're getting £200 a week more than you.
Yeah.
Just go out. And that's where it tempers it. Yes, you have the clubs in there with more money, but every week, I'm not saying it's the cliche that it's a cup final against the smallest, but there are different things you've got to think through. That's why it took Luton so long to get out of the league. That's why it takes these so-called bigger clubs so long to get out of the league and work up their way through.
There's when the fixtures come out at the start of the season, if you're at a big club, which I've been fortunate enough that I have been, you don't really look at the fixtures because you know every one's a
tough one,
a cup final.
Yeah.
When you're at a lesser club, and I've been at plenty of them as well, the first thing you do is look at the big club in your division. You go, when do we play Wimbledon? When do we play Chelmsford? When do we play whoever that big club is? That's so you're looking at it. Every other team's looking at it.
Yeah.
So there is that. And not everyone can play for the big team. Not everybody can manage them. And that's part of the deal that goes with it. And the gap has got closer. So to be a big club and sustain it on the pitch is, I think, harder now than it was 10 years ago.
And I got a complete sucker punched with it because I went to Chelmsford with their 4-1 win over Hampton on Saturday, and we were top of the league. And we were actually top of the league after the first game. And this isn't... Ready for the big name drop? You ready? You ready? I was talking to Michael Owen on Tuesday.
Oh.
And he said to me, do you want a fiver on the fact that I think Chester and the National North will finish higher than Chelmsford do in the National South? And I was like, we're going to go on and win the league. And then a couple of hours later, we lost to Concord. And,
well, come back the earth.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I look at our team and I think we're world beaters. I think we need a bit more pace at the back. And then I think, no, the early
but
season
all of a sudden,
if you look,
when you look at the division... It used to be you'd pick one or two. Now you're picking five or six. Yeah,
it's
horrible.
National South.
It's magnificent.
It's magnificent, but it's horrible. Was it 8 out of the last 11 seasons we've been in the blooming playoffs?
But who's counting?
What even is that? my dad won his Isthmian League Champions winning T-shirt at the weekend.
Yeah, did he?
And he wasn't wearing it to Concord, so I'm blaming him.
Okay, his fault. His fault.
So this week it's all about the dream. Probably the most famous competition in the world begins this weekend, and I don't mean the Isthmian Premier. It is, of course, the extra preliminary round of the FA Cup. 736 teams entered into this year's competition, with 184 starting this weekend. That's a massive day for thousands across the country, so there's only one man we could turn to for the stats, the facts, and the insight into what the FA Cup brings this season. Welcome back to the Non-League Football Show at FA Cup Fact Fail, Mr. Philanets.
Hi, Tim. How are
you? I'm giving you a slow hat. That was a bit aggressive, that hand clap, wasn't it? Sorry.
Hey, I've got to correct you on one of your stats you quoted already.
184 ties, but not 184 clubs.
Exactly.
Half the number of clubs are taking part this weekend.
Well, it shows how big it is, doesn't it? I mean, let's start with the format this season. We've got the extra preliminary round. I know you've suggested various shake-ups over the years. There's lots of new faces this season, though, and the same number of sides as last year. Is it a fair assessment of the clubs that should be entered into the FA Cup?
Well, I know there's been lots of complaints about the points per game criteria favouring those clubs in what are considered to be easier leagues. But I think that the FA are going through a period of transition, and we won't really know what their final decision is on the number of clubs for the FA Cup until we've seen the non-league pyramid settle down at the end of next season. I hope they have a plan to increase the numbers, because there are lots and lots of clubs out there who are annoyed about not being in the FA Cup, and lots who haven't been in it who would love to be in it.
Yeah, we got, I think, 50 new entries in this season's competition compared to last year, and 23 debutants. I'm sure you've been trawling the history books and the trivia books for facts on all of those then, Phil.
Well, I have done, yeah. I've tried my best. And sometimes it's hard to know if a team is a new team or an old team renamed or whatever. But there's a couple there that have come in after a long period of existence. So Sutton Athletic, 120 years ago they were formed, so getting their first taste of FA Cup football. And Norwich CBS, who were formed 10 years even earlier, who are entering for the first time. Interestingly, on that Sutton Athletic, they're now the third town that will host a team called Sutton in the FA Cup this season. So you've got Sutton in Surrey, and you've also got Sutton Coldfield Town in the Midlands.
Someone's got to make sure they do their sat-nav on that right. I'm not saying that I know a club that went to Bury when they should have gone to Bury, but I do know a club that went to that.
I know many, many clubs. I wrote a blog about it last year about how you could easily end up at the wrong Barton or any other club around the country which shares a name.
Yeah, end up with Joey. Phil, you know I love an interesting name or an interesting stat related to names. Sutton, you've just pulled one out. I mean, there's got to be more than that, though. Is there any others to tickle my taste buds?
I've written a load down for you, Callum.
It's nice to have someone who actually prepares.
We've got the first ever Coventry derby in the FA Cup this year, with Coventry Sphinx taking on Coventry United. But there are three other derbies that might tickle your taste buds there, Caroline. There's the acronym derby.
Oh.
So you've got Avro are taking on Litherland Remika. Is that how you pronounce it? So they're both names formed out of acronyms.
Brilliant.
Then you've got the ampersand derby.
Of course you do.
Where you got Erith and Belvedere taking on Peacehaven and Telscombe.
See, that's always, we had Hampton and Richmond at the weekend, which I always think is unfair to play two teams at once, as we sit in Hayes and Yedding, but at least it's balanced out in the ampersand derby. Good.
And then the final one, which I my personal favourite, I hope you like it too, that's called the Rhyming Nickname Derby.
Is it rude?
Dunkirk take on, no, it's not rude, no, but Dunkirk take on Gresley, which means the boatmen take on the boatmen.
See, this is why you need a knighthood.
Well, this is what people miss out on, isn't it? You know, it's like the mainstream medium, they might give us a little news in brief or something over the weekend about the FA Cup. But this is the proper FA Cup. This is the stuff that makes the FA Cup gold.
Tell you the proper thing. How much, Phil, how much for the winners? That's the proper question.
Unfortunately, it's not enough, really, in the grand scheme of things. And I think they could do a lot more to up the prize money in these earlier stages.
Well,
at the end of the day,
we've got prize money for the losers this time round as well, haven't we? All the way up to, is it the first round proper?
Yeah, they do. Yeah, they introduced it a couple of rounds last season. I think it was to reflect the fact that some teams don't come into the competition until a bit later on, and they would end up out of pocket or whatever if they lost their first game. So I think it's a good move to give the money to the losing side as well. But I still think, you know, those at the end of the competition, it doesn't matter how much they change the prize money for the winners, it won't be any more interesting to them than it is at the moment. So they could redistribute that money further down the chain.
And obviously, you know, I say about the magic of the FA Cup being non-league, 644 non-league teams will take part in this season's competition. Forget about the FA Cup final and what time that's going to be played on a Saturday or a Sunday coming May. Yeah, this is the important part of the FA Cup.
Yeah, I mean, this is where if they're not fans and volunteers and board members and players all struggling to sleep this week because in the FA Cup, then they won't really know that they're alive, because this is where the excitement of the competition really is at its highest. Or you only have to look at Twitter to just see what gets put out there by the clubs and the fans of the clubs.
Was that a hint?
They're all looking forward to it.
Was that a hint that we should check our DMs? Because I saw there's a DM waiting for you about something exciting that's happening in the FA Cup, isn't there?
Well, you were talking about the new initiative on the Factor Awards, yes.
Are we allowed to talk about that?
Well, I haven't announced it yet. By the time this goes out, maybe I will have done, yes.
Okay, go on then. Give us an exclusive.
Okay, well, the Factors are the only awards that are focused on recognising the achievements of non-league clubs in the FA Cup, and they've been running for about 4 years now. And they've been, all clubs have been nominated by fans and then voted on by fans of non-league, but this year we're going to add a new dimension. We're going to have fans still voting for their favourites, but we're going to have a panel of what I'd like to call non-league experts. They might not necessarily all agree, but non-league experts who are going to join me.
You're pushing the board out there, let me tell you.
I'm hitting him.
These achievements. So we've got yourself, Tim, and you, Dave, and of course you, Caroline, who are joining me, and Matt Badcock from the non-league paper. And we will also determine which teams we think deserve the awards, and the combined votes between us and the fans of the non-league will determine who win the awards this year.
And Dave's also handling security for anyone that disagrees with any of it. It is wonderful to see the Factors grow. It's wonderful to see your stats used by, I think Tim was doing a little spit on the mainstream media, but it is wonderful to see you being acknowledged too for all that you do. And I'd give you an award every day of the week.
And I'll take it from you, Caroline. Thank
you. Good, as is right. It still won't weigh up to the heavy weight that Dave Anton is carrying with that FA VAR, but it'll go somewhere to it.
No, I thought you could get away without mentioning the FA VAR.
He's not brought it up. He's not brought it up.
Not in the last 5 minutes.
I even mentioned the FA Cup final and didn't mention it was at Wembley. Phil, obviously we've got lots and lots of games this weekend, but they're spread across the weekend as well, wouldn't they? So if someone is a big fan, you can hop across and take in a number of games this weekend.
Yeah, I think you could possibly even get up to 5 games if you are really mindful. Starting on Friday night, there's a handful of games happening on Friday night, often because they're playing at our other host grounds who have a game on Saturday. Then we've obviously got Punjab United versus, I think it's Broadbridge Heath, who are the tie being shown by the BBC on their online live match. It kicks off at lunchtime on Saturday. It's a handful, obviously, a massive handful of games all going on around the country at 3 p.m. on Saturday. And then there's a few clubs who've organised Saturday night games as well. I'm trying to think whether Scholing have got their game on Saturday night. Sure, yeah. And I know there's Thetford, so they're both on Saturday night. And then there's about nine or so games going ahead on Sunday.
Was it? So where's Mr. Philonets going then this weekend? Are you going to take in five games or
Manchester United, Chelsea?
No, I don't think I'm going to get to that many. I'm definitely going to go to Chichester City versus Erith Town on Saturday. I may get to a game on Sunday. I haven't quite worked out. I've got to obviously try and stay on top of 180 odd ties and try somehow to do a bit of analysis on those while it's still in people's minds.
Where do you start?
I will do what I can.
But I mean, you have got that advantage that we already know the first round qualifying draw. So I guess you've already prepared that one, depending on who goes through.
Again, it's the preliminary round, but I'm not going to correct you all too often this interview.
Please do, Phil.
Yeah, we do know that. Obviously, there's a lot of unknowns because of it'll be A or B versus C or D. But yeah, hopefully that makes life a little bit easier, knowing what the draw is.
Oh, the alphabet derby.
Yeah, you could have an alphabet derby.
Now you see why Wayne Rooney wanted to come back to this country. He just loved the derbies. Well, Phil, it's been, as ever, a pleasure having you on, and I'm sure we'll speak to you many times as the season goes on. You've got a couple of weeks off to prepare for that next round. So enjoy the weekend. We'll keep an eye out on Twitter. Just remind people of your Twitter handle.
Yeah, so you can follow all my FA Cup facts on at FA Cup Fact File on Twitter, or you can follow me also, and follow me on Facebook.
Good stuff. And
a slower one on the way out.
and your fan club will continue here and grow stronger and stronger as the season goes on.
Badges are available.
Yes.
Brilliant. Thank you. See you all.
See you,
Matt. Bye.
Thank you, Phil.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
So it is FA Cup weekend, so we must start with a guest full of FA Cup fever and a club that are taking part in the competition for the first time in their history. Now, last season we spoke with our next guest about his side's meteoric rise from a Sunday side into this season's Southern Counties East League Premier Division at Step 5. This weekend they hit another milestone with their debut in the FA Cup competition, and I'm pleased to say Kevin Oakes, chairman at Welling Town, joins us on the line today. Welcome back to the Non-League Football Show.
Afternoon, Tim. Thanks for having us on.
Oh, it's always a pleasure to have you on, Kevin. Now, for those who may have missed you on the show last season, can you give us a quick précis of how the club came about? Because it's been a fast track to success.
Yeah, it has. It's been meteoric, really. You know, I never thought it would escalate to this level so quickly. We started out 5 years ago playing in the park. Most of the players involved are people that were either friends of myself or my brother. Too many people the wrong side of 30 and a little bit overweight. 5 years later, we're playing in the FA Cup. So, yeah, still can't believe it, really.
You were fast-tracked, weren't you, when you switched to Saturday football? So that helped. We discussed that last season. But, you know, last season, your debut in the Southern Counties East, Division 1, you just went ahead and won it. So, obviously, you've got things right at the football club.
Yeah, there's been a lot of change in a short space of time. Some of it unfortunate, but on the field, we've been promoted every year that we've been in existence, which I'm very proud of. And every player, manager and coach that's been involved in that from day one through to now has all played their part. And to now be competing at a level where there are some teams in the Premier, Scaffold Premier Division with 100 years worth of history, big fan bases, and us to just be little old Welling that's only been going 2 or 3 years. It's still quite surreal, but we're excited by the challenge. I think this year will obviously be the first year that we don't win anything, which is going to be a bit of a culture shock. We're looking forward to the challenge.
Whoa. Yeah. You don't enter the FA Cup not to win it.
I have put in my programme notes, we're only 13 wins from Wembley.
There you go. Spoken like a true chairman. Have you also put in how many games you expect to win so that adds to the budget?
No, we don't really have any expectations this year. You know, we're quite humble in that regard. One of the unfortunate things over the summer that led to a change of management was budget related. I don't really want to go into too much detail on that. It would be disrespectful and inappropriate, but we've had to cut our cloth accordingly. We're not the biggest team in the division anymore. We're not looking at the league table, we're expecting to win it. We need to be realistic and make sure the club is sustainable and that our short history and all the good things that we've achieved in 3 or 4 years are not undone by trying to be too ambitious. Of course, we want to carry on progressing, but we also need to try and be realistic.
So is that, Kevin, you sort of, first of all, with this the sort of thing that you would require, I'm the perfect manager for you.
Not an awful lot. By the way.
Listen, in all seriousness, so what you're saying basically is you want to learn how to walk before you run. Budget ways and getting carried away, which I fully understand. And who is that a personal decision? Is there a committee with you that do that? Who made that decision to go, whoa, hang on a minute?
Me, ultimately. I started the club. I'm the only person still at the club from day one, and I don't want to see all of the hard work of many, many people, including myself and my family, all undone by trying to be unrealistic. Of course we are ambitious. We do not progress from park football to where we are now without a degree of ambition, but you've got to know where the limitations are, otherwise it will all come crashing down. And we've all seen plenty of non-league sides over the years go to the wall and have to reform. We don't want to be the next one of those. So there's a decent budget. There's a competitive budget for the level that we're at. It's a little bit more than last year as well, so we're not being negative, we just have to be sensible.
No, sure. And with that comes, and I'm not a great lover of this, but everybody talks about a 2-year plan, a 5-year plan, a plan. But so in your mind, when do you feel the club would be ready for the next step, or is that not even in your thoughts?
Well, we move on to like the next phase of the plan, really. Yeah. Every year that we've been going, 3 years, we've wanted to get out of the division. We've been lucky enough to achieve that 3 years running. And as a result, the off-the-field side of the club compared to on the pitch has not progressed at the same speed. And we hire a facility. We don't make money over the bar. We don't have a supporter base. We don't have season ticket holders. You know, we need to try and become a traditional non-league football club. You know, I would like over the next 3 to 5 years us to find our own venue that we can call home, to continue growing the club with more youth teams and to start build up a little bit of a following, and hopefully a good cup run will aid that.
Yeah, you're at Thamesmead Town, and we've spoken a lot to them over the years about what they've gone through trying to get their own ground and how difficult it was for them too. Can I do the dream bit? Have you closed your eyes and thought what it'd be like, your team, you said it a couple of times, from park football, running out in the FA Cup against Uckfield, what that's going to mean to you?
Yeah, I mean, I imagine on Saturday afternoon it's not going to be that different to watching them run out any other Saturday.
Yeah, you're there. You know, I'm not having that one. I thought you've spoke absolute sense up until that last sentence.
The reason it's so surreal is that we weren't even expecting to be in the FA Cup, but I was actually going through the FA Vars draw at the time when it was announced a few weeks ago, and my phone suddenly had loads of text messages coming through saying, right, stop looking at the FA Vars, you're actually in the FA Cup. We weren't anticipating that. So it is a shock, a good achievement. I hope the boys, or I know they will, I know that they'll do themselves justice. They're looking forward to it. A few of them have played in the FA Cup before. Some of them haven't. Some of them have never played at this level of football. And it's just as exciting for them and for the management as it is for everyone else associated with the club. And yeah, if we did win, we've then got VCD in the next round to a local club as well, a big club in our area at non-league football. So that'd be exciting. And then we've got Erith Town in the FA Vars as well. So, you know, some good local games there that will help us get a supporter base. You know, we're aiming at Charlton, Millwall, West Ham supporters. We want to try and be their second team, their sort of non-league team that they watch when their main team is away from home.
You mentioned earlier that this is going to be the first season that you're not looking to win anything. Is that difficult? Because you say you haven't really got a supporters base, but for clubs at step five, that, you know, there's lots of clubs that have got a handful of supporters. Certainly from what I've seen from social media, you know, I'll show my hand here. Your new manager is a guy that I went to school with. So Danny Wakelin, I've known for years, and I know that he knows Kent football very well. I don't think I've seen him for about a decade, but we still swap messages every now and then. And I know that he's got ambitions to win things, but build a club. And his experience is getting the best out of players. So I understand why you've gone for him. But how do you manage expectations this season? Because you have got fans, albeit in small number, but they're all going to want to have a successful season. And they're used to winning everything.
Most people are realistic that you can't just keep winning every single season. Otherwise, you know, being in the Premier League in 8 or 9 years, that's obviously not going to happen. There has to come a point where you reach a little bit of a ceiling. And Danny and I had a really, really good chat before we took the job about what our expectations were. We do want to get out of the division, of course, but we need to... Everybody needs to understand it's going to take 2 or 3 years to do that as an absolute minimum. It's not going to be something that you can keep doing on an annual basis. And once we get our own facility and we start building up a little bit of the supporter base and the finance and the sponsorships and things that come with that, and we're on a level playing field with some of the other clubs in our division who have got deep pockets, then we'll give it another go. And I think we've demonstrated over the last few years that there are plenty of people at the club that do know what they're doing. And when we put our minds to something, we are usually successful. So when the time is right, we'll go for it again and win more trophies, I'm sure.
Well, it is getting those revenue streams in, isn't it? The FA Cup, we've already spoken to Phil Annetts about the prize money for losing in this round as well, which I hope you're not going to do and go on and collect some money. And I've got an FA Vars win. I don't know if anybody knew that, but Dave Vance has won the FA Vars.
Do you know, I thought really successfully we'd managed to navigate the choppy waters of this interview when we could have mentioned an FA Vars winner at any time and you'd held back.
But the success that comes with that can help build a club.
Yeah, as you've seen firsthand, Dave, and Cray Valley are local to us, and we played them pre-season. We know a few of their players. A good cup run really puts your club on the map in other parts of the country as well as your local area. And we want to try and become a community club. We want people to watch our YouTube videos, watch our match highlights, follow us on social media, but more importantly, come down and watch us play. And we're at home on non-league day, so we'll be doing something big for that as well. And a good cup run puts your team on the map. So I do hope that we have a good afternoon on Saturday. Hopefully we win, of course. And the revenue is just a bonus. I mean, for a club like us, if we do win on Saturday, the money from that one game will pay for our training ground for the entire season.
Oh, there you go.
So, you know, it's a lot of money for a team at our level.
Well, no wonder you were looking at the FA Vars draw rather than the FA Cup if you didn't think you were going to be in it. But Kevin, you are in it, and hopefully you'll still be in it after the weekend, and we'll be following your progress. So thanks again for joining us on the Non-League Football
Show. Living the dream, Kevin.
Yeah.
Living the dream.
Good luck, Kevin.
Thank you. Thanks for inviting us on. Make sure you call if we win, won't you? All right. Take care. Thank you.
Now, Kevin did mention non-league day there, so I think that's a perfect time to bring in Miss Barker again. Yes.
I was not really just looking at Twitter. It's just all these alerts that are going off. Non-league clubs are taking the opportunity, given we're recording this on transfer deadline day, to talk about their own transfers. But most of it I've seen so far has been there's a new pie coming into one club.
What club?
What do you mean you haven't got the tattoo already about the Pirates?
It's got the transfers.
Yay! Yeah. The first thing I said to Dave Anderson when he walked through the door is, did you know your tattoos are back in fashion now? That's a side issue.
I think not.
They are. You ink not. That was even worse. Non-league day, 10th. Can you believe the 10th year?
Is it really?
Non-league day. Yeah, so the second international break. More's going to be announced in the first international break in September, but it's going to happen in the second international break, the 12th of October, that weekend. And a guest we're going to have on in a minute, Matt Badcock, from the non-league paper. I know they're going to start pushing it really heavily. The Premier League are involved, the Football Association involved, all the supporters associations too. And it's hopefully, along with prostate cancer care and a lot of the charity work that's going on, I think this will fingers crossed be the biggest yet.
It's a real success story, isn't it? It's a proper success story.
What worked last season, and which is why it's great to have the Premier League on board, is they got, you might have seen a load of videos from players that had played at non-league level, and the FA did that too as well with a few of the England players. You look at majority of the goalkeepers were yours. Your goalkeeper, for England, played with you. They all want to talk about where they've come through and what they've done and how they've earned their stripes in football. And from press officers to stewards to players to owners, Gary Sweep, St. Luton, everyone's grafted in non-league. Everyone's grown up and through non-league football. And why wouldn't you celebrate it just for one day? We celebrate it every week. But
it takes it outside of the... I mean, obviously, you know, you might, because my accent's quite male these days, but I don't come from this part of the world, you know.
Haze.
But what it does, it takes it outside of the country.
Yeah.
Because non-league in Northern Ireland and different parts of Europe, nobody's heard of non-league that much. But this sort of thing brings it out, you know, and people become aware of it.
Yeah, and I think people know about the football pyramid and how strong it is. Yes. In this country, but it is those names that have come up and through, the players that are still playing, the managers that are still involved at all levels of the game, and just the strength of it, and just celebrating it for one day. So having the Premier League on board, those videos were key, but also they persuaded a lot of the Premier League clubs in their programs ahead of non-league day just to put in essentially a map of the non-league clubs that are in their area. So if you can just get a little bit of the reflection off
magnificent.
That
magnificent.
Yeah.
So to our next guest, and he's celebrating a new role that this man has no stranger to the show and certainly no stranger to the people of the non-league game. He's certainly served his apprenticeship at non-league level. It's a welcome back to the non-league show, Mr. Matt Badcock, editor of the non-league paper.
Hey! And given that we're no stranger to eating rolls, that's good that you have a new role. Well done, Matty.
It shows what happens if you just stick around for
last one standing.
Sort of eventually, they sort of can't sort of pass you by.
Yeah, it's what happened to Tim.
I took his advice, you see.
Happy days.
So tell us about the new job then.
That is it. I'm now sort of, alongside a trusted colleague, John Couch, we're heading the paper up. Alex has moved on. He'll still sort of be around and sort of drop by and sort of file some pieces for us and all that comes with it. But yeah, we're sort of signing my own death sentence, I think, is the appropriate way of putting it.
It's a nice quiet time of year to be taking on a new job, isn't it?
I know. I don't actually know what's been going on. I've got no clue. I've not been to any games. I'm not very much used to you today. But
I made a living out of it. Don't worry about it.
I will still be out of games and getting around and still writing and things. So that's kind of the plan with long term, as when we sort of settle down. But it's obviously a very busy and frantic start to the season, as we all know.
You're
really pleased.
Your first week in charge, and the National League just gets underway. Yeah, three divisions, some nice competitive games. It's going to be a very big season for everybody involved.
Yeah, it's going to be huge. I mean, it seems incredible that we're already back round again. It doesn't seem all that long ago that we're sticking a dictaphone under Dave's mouth in the mix zone at Wembley. to get his thoughts on the FA Vars.
There's that word again.
Dictaphone.
You get fined every time he mentions it.
Yeah.
I'm still trying to translate what he told us.
But we're back again. Obviously, it's been another interesting summer. Lots of changes as there always is, and you know, big seasons across the whole of non-league for lots of teams, and we'll be attempting to be there every step of the way, following it.
Yeah. You say big changes over the summer. We're recording this Thursday afternoon, coming into the evening, and already a management casualty up at Bradford Park Avenue today. Gary Thompson, two 5-0 defeats in their opening games, and he's gone. Is that the fastest one we've had in recent seasons?
Yeah, I can't remember many quicker. I was talking to Paul Holleran, the Leamington manager, only yesterday. He reached his 500 games in charge of Leamington on Tuesday night, which he celebrated with a win against Brackley, which I guess always helps when you reach these milestones if you do win. But we were sort of saying, oh, you know, in a couple of weeks or so, there'll be someone out of a job, and didn't quite expect it to be that quick. I mean, obviously, maybe there's something been going on there. A young side and things like that. Maybe it's not gone quite right over the summer, but it is a very, very early change.
I mean, it's very early days, and we always say promotion can be lost in these early games. You know, a number of clubs in that National League that play two games without any points. You know, Barrow, Hartlepool and Ebbsfleet. You do fear for them already, don't you? I know it's only two games, but you fear, you know, are they going to become set adrift already? And
I've worn socks longer.
I wonder what that smell was.
Well, I think that's the thing. It's such a relentless start to the season, isn't it? It's eight games in August, which is an awful lot of football. You have a bad week, that's, you know, get all injury at the, you know, at the beginning. There's only a week to recover, but that guy can miss three games, and if it's a key player, you can suddenly be behind the eight ball pretty quickly. And I just think that there's this whole thing that's come into football that we don't really like, but it's this whole immediacy thing, isn't it? It has to happen now, and if we lose, it's a crisis, and two on the trot, you know, we're really struggling, and you know, then it doesn't take long to turn it around. But
from a manager's point of view, it's a funny thing psychologically. You always want your first win, you always want your first home win, and you always want your first away win as quick as you can. Because if you win your first two at home and lose your first three away, straight away it's a problem. So it's just psychologically you want to get over it. But to get the second within 7 days of starting, you got to think there's been a problem before that.
It does mean that we get to start this season, as we do every season, with you talking about microwave football, which still hasn't really caught on, has it? Which is, you can have that headline, Matt, for the next edition, ping and they're gone. There was a brilliant piece which you will know all about, not the Top 20 podcast, who do it on the Football League. I mean, it's not as good as the Totally Football League show, but it's a very good show. They were on Twitter talking about the England C teams. You've for a long time, Matt, followed England C and Paul Fairclough and the work that he and Mick do throughout non-league football in picking their talent. And there was a great, I don't know if you saw it this week, a great thread about the England C class of 2017. Jamal Lowe, Alex Woodyard, Ethan Pinnock. They were talking then about the class of 2017, Curtis Guthrie, James Bolton. Then they were talking about Kemar Roofe. The players that have come through, that have been and worked under Paul Fairclough and are now just tearing up the Football League and heading their way up the divisions, that talent is still there. Have you got an eye on who you think might be the players for this season that we just all look at and go, wow?
Well, yeah, it's an incredible sort of, the list just, it does go on and on. I can't remember when it was last season, but I had another sort of count up of all the players who'd gone under Paul Fairclough, and it was into the 300s.
James Norwood, Bogle, forget all these real qualities.
It just goes on. And those players you mentioned are literally just within the last few years. I mean, it wasn't all that long ago that Andre Gray was a regular in the England C team. And last year I was at Wembley watching him in the FA Cup final. And how amazing is that? That just a few years after he's playing non-league football that he's there and on that stage and playing in the Premier League. He played in the same team as Sam Clucas, who's obviously played in the Premier League as well. So, you know, it is there is a lot of talent. You were already from the squad that went out to Estonia in the summer. Tom White's gone to Blackburn Rovers from that squad. James Hardy's at Walsall now. Even players within that team who haven't gone into the Football League as such have moved into full-time football, some of them. So it does really show there is so much, you know, talent out there. And that squad that went out to Estonia wasn't just a National League squad. I mean, the back four was a step two player. Centre-backs were step three and step four. And the left-back was step three. So that, you know, that shows that it's not just players that are picked from the top two divisions of non-league football. I mean, one player who sort of did really sort of really high hopes for this season was going to really watch out for, and I've just seen today that he's had some really difficult news, that is Luke Trotman at Darlington, and he's just ruptured his Achilles the other night. It looks like he's out for the season, but he was a really, really, you know, really good talent, and one of those you think, well, why hasn't he gone on yet? But he's sort of studying for a degree at Loughborough University. Actually, before the game against Estonia, he literally took an exam that day in the hotel for his business degree. So it just shows that there are some really, really good players out there doing other things outside of football, but they have that sort of talent to go on. So it's a really sort of tough break for him. But that squad as well, Isaac Galliford was really impressive. He was at Hitchin last year. He's moved to Hemel Hempstead. I really like the look of him. David Longking, who's gone to St Albans, really big, powerful centre back. He looked really impressive as well. I mean, there's going to be more and more of them.
That will be one thing in the non-league paper bingo then this weekend. I don't know if you've seen in the last couple of hours as we're recording this, Bury, all sorts of trouble. They've had another, their cup game's been suspended. Mm. They've now got 14 days or they're kicked out of the league. Have you had any whispers about, and I haven't from a National League perspective, about whether there's any movement on fans trying to reform or anything that might happen? Clearly, we don't want them to go out of business, but that's another one to look at, isn't it?
Yeah, not heard anything at the moment, but I think it's always the natural thing is that when clubs, we've seen it with clubs in the past, and they maybe haven't gone, but the fans sort of start looking into what the future might be if the club that they, you know, supported all these years does fold. Obviously, it's sort of a very difficult situation at Bury, possibly slightly unique, but you know, it's something that's got to give eventually, isn't it? You know, the fact that postponing games, as you say, the League Cup game at Sheffield Wednesday's been suspended. I mean, it really is not good. And then it sort of comes down to where they're going to fit into the National League system if it did go that far, and all those sort of hurdles that have come through. Obviously, it wouldn't be for this season. But, you know, it's a difficult situation for those fans.
It's bloody awful for fans, isn't it? Because what do you do? What do you do?
Notts County were close to it, normally, you know, and thankfully they sorted out.
Yeah, I was actually in many ways, I wouldn't have been surprised if Notts County had gone into some of the things you sort of hearing and where it was sort of going on. It was sort of think, well, you know, I think they got that over the line right at the time that they needed to. But it is terrible for the fans. I know there's sort of people will always say now, oh, you know, look at all the money that's been spent in the Premier League. But, you know, Bury, it seems to be a different situation to me. It seems that something's gone wrong there with the ownership being able to take charge, and whether that's something that the authorities can need to be looking at. And I think it is very difficult to sometimes police these things, but you know, something needs to be done. I don't always have the answers, really. I think a lot of time we see, like Gates said last year, people say, well, the National League have got to do something, and that's like, that's fine, but what do people, and I don't mean that genuinely, what do people want them to do?
We spoke about that many years ago. I remember Kaz speaking about one-man ownership. You remember we spoke about the fact should it ever be allowed, and whilst it is successful with some, it means that if they get disinterested, they lose their money, they do, you know, the walls come caving in, you know, and we remember covering it years and years ago.
Well, and I'm the first to argue against some of those in leagues or in board control, but I do know, having sat and watched what happened with the National League, and it's the last thing anyone wants is for a club to go out, and they try every possible means to support the fans and to financially sort a club out. But just in the end, sometimes you've got to look at it and think, what's best? What's best for the fans, for the football club? Because ultimately, the fans, we're the ones that are still there, aren't we? After that one person has been and gone.
We are still here, and
hopefully
everybody else is still there as well. Matt, obviously you've got this editor's hat on now. Does that mean that we won't be seeing you out and about at games on a Saturday?
No, the plan is to, he says, get out and about, you know, still be sort of almost doing kind of what I was doing before. Kind of, I think it's editor at large role, which I thought the boss was sort of commenting on my weight at first. But that's kind of the idea. And John Couch was very capable heading up from the office as it is anyway. He certainly doesn't need me hanging around sticking my nose in and that sort of thing. But that's going to be the idea. I mean, it is a busy start to the season, and when you're trying to get a paper out at the beginning, you don't want any mistakes. So we're all hands to the pump at the moment. But hopefully I'll get out and see a bit of football soon.
So any plans this weekend, or are you in the office and pulling everything together with a bumper paper, obviously, to put together with all the coverage coming in?
Well, yeah, that's the plan. We'll be in the office trying to get everything out. We've solved the problem. I had a good start this week where I put on the flat plan for an extra step three division that doesn't kick off until next week. So that was a good start. Luckily, we realised that yesterday, and we weren't going to be staring at a blank two pages on Saturday night. But yeah, there's lots going on. Obviously, the Isthmian and the Southern League Step 3 start this week. FA Cup, so we've got loads of coverage from there. Previewing the Northern Premier League kickoff next week. We've spoken to John Still, the head of the National League, celebrating 40 years, their 40th birthday next weekend. John Still obviously going up with three different clubs. So there's plenty going on, but I think a lot of it's about the match action at the stage of the season, isn't it? Let's see you can get that first win on the board. Can FC Halifax make it 3 out of 3? They're the only team with 100% record so far. So it's going to be another fascinating weekend.
Well, Matt, good luck with your new role and alongside Mr. Couch as well. Good luck to him as well. And we'll speak to you again very soon.
Thank you very much. Good to speak.
Cheers,
good
Matt.
Good luck, Matt. See you, good Matt. Luck.
Thank you.
So I guess that's probably all we got time for, really.
Well, apart from I'm supposed to mention that it's the 40th anniversary of the National League. Well
Is
done.
It the 40th anniversary? Well done, Mr. Badcock.
Well done, Mr. Badcock. But there'll be plenty more on that in the non-league paper this weekend.
Okay. Well, a big thank you for joining us, Caroline, and today.
In body, if not in mind.
I'm
still desperate to see who Chelmsford have signed. It's come up on Twitter, and now I can't get any more information.
Well, hopefully, by the time this goes out on Friday morning, people will know.
People will know.
And be very
if not,
excited by
at
it.
At Official Clarets.
Well, I was going to mention, you can follow us throughout the season and join in the debate on social media at Non League Show. Mr. Dave Anderson is at Dave Anderson 78.
Yep.
At Caroline Barker.
When are you changing it to at Dave Anderson, FA Vars winner? He just doesn't mention it.
No, yes.
All I say in the pub now is I'll have a double. Oh, no, I had one.
And on that note, I think we should say good night and thank you for joining us.
J-I-B-B-A-J-A-B-B-A.